It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast, episode 261. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. In this week's show, Matt and I finish our preview of the Poinsettia Bowl, including our bold prediction. Go Cougars! Also on the show, who besides Mika and Emery need to step up for men's basketball? Bryce Harper gets married, and is Rogue One the best Star Wars movie ever? This and much more on this week's version of the podcast. Of course, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout, on Twitter at BYU_riseandshout, and this week we're going to have two shows, so listen for us on Thursday as we recap the Poinsettia Bowl. This is the BYU Rise and Shout podcast, brought to you by CougarFan.com, where you can get all of your Cougar news, and then you can listen to us right now. CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast. Matt, we had our first ever cliffhanger.
Yeah, it was completely unintentional, but brilliant all the same.
Brilliant, brilliant. Don't say that. Don't say it was unintentional. You just gave away, I mean, we could have seemed brilliant. People listening to this podcast, they know we're not brilliant.
I thought you had already admitted it was unintentional.
I did.
So you had already cleared that one out on Twitter.
I did, but I'm guessing there are some people that don't, who listen to the podcast that don't necessarily engage with us every day on social media, who may have missed it.
That's a good point.
So to set this up, in case you missed last week's podcast, which if you did, shame on you, because it was a terrific podcast. The last three or so minutes of the audio mysteriously disappeared. That hasn't happened since, I don't know, it's been a couple hundred episodes probably.
Yeah, the very early days.
So I don't know what happened, but I left on a business trip the next morning to go to Jamestown, North Dakota, which, by the way, is as cold as it sounds.
It sounds very cold.
So I left on a business trip. I did not have my Mac with me, so I could not fix it. And by the time I got home, at that point, it was actually funny, and I didn't fix it. But the point is, last week you said on Saturday you wouldn't see any of the bowl games, and you kept putting off why you didn't see any of the bowl games. But Matt, you never answered that question, so the listeners are eager to know why on Saturday you, who never misses football if he has a chance, why did you not watch any bowl games on Saturday?
So this is my inaugural recording from the Baton Rouge, Louisiana area.
Yes, and you may notice his cell phone sounding voice.
I do not have internet in the new house yet, as we have just relocated, and Saturday was the day we were actually moving from Houston to Louisiana. So I was in the car most of the day Friday with the wife and kids. Like I said, in the couple of cars caravanning the drive over. We stopped a couple times. Anyway, we did not have time to catch any of the bowl games on Saturday, and that's also why I sound like I'm just calling in off my phone today, because that's exactly
what's happening. So, Matt, Jeremy Ashton in the tweet bag, good old-fashioned email. You can email us at riseandshoutpod, one word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. He asked where you were. He was crushed, Matt. He said he was crushed, but here's the important part of his email, Matt. He said that it's the highlight of his week, listening to our podcast, which I would say, Jeremy, you need to get more things to do, more exciting things to do, but we appreciate it. We love that it's a highlight of your week. He says, and this is the kicker, Matt, he is the guy who introduced both Johnny Ashton, who I'm assuming might be a relative of some sort, and Gary Painbag Payne to the podcast. So he's like
that's
a
really
podcast,
quite a feat right there.
Yeah, he's like a podcast evangelist.
So podcast evangelist? Is that even a word? I don't think you can say that.
I'm sure I can. I just did. But I would encourage
you. I feel like
a
podcast evangelist is something other than what you just described.
Nah, I think I got it right. Here you go, Matt. We're going to get to Gary here in a second. But Matt, if you like this podcast, tell your friends who are BYU fans. I bet you they'll like it too.
Hey, Jeremy, that's what Jeremy Ashton discovered.
He did it. It's like a pyramid scheme, but without the guilt. Right? Or your friends and family stopping to return your calls or messages.
So it's just like a pyramid scheme, except it's nothing like a pyramid scheme.
Correct. Well, no, you're involving your friends and family. It's got that similarity to it.
All right, I guess I'll give you that.
All right. So anyway, Matt, Gary Payne, the aforementioned Gary Payne, at FastBreakGP on Twitter with our first tweet bag. Well, I guess Jeremy had our first tweet bag, but regardless. Thanks, Matt.
Well, no, you came into it. You came into it all awkward. You came at it with the other questions.
And... I come into it awkward every
whatever.
Week. What are you talking
tweet
about?
Tweet bag.
All right, there you go.
Tweet bag.
So he saw a bold comment, Gary did, that Rogue One is better than Empire Strikes Back. Now, Matt, you actually saw this movie before I did, which is mind-boggling. But Matt,
I flipped the whole world on its side that night.
Let's answer this in two ways. Is Rogue One better than Empire Strikes Back, which I would argue is the best Star Wars movie of all time?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Wow. I don't think it is, but it's pretty darn close.
It's the best one.
So you think it's better than The Force Awakens?
Yes.
Better than Empire Strikes Back?
And yes.
Of the original trilogy, is Empire your favorite? There's no wrong answer there, by the way.
Empire's probably my favorite.
Empire's my favorite. So, Matt, you saw it with your son. We're spoiler-free here, but by all intents and purposes, sounds like you liked it a lot.
Yeah, I really liked it, actually. As you and I know, and as we've discussed before, I don't live in this genre. I come to visit from time to time when there's a good movie like Force Awakens or Rogue One that comes up. But I came out of Rogue One ready to... I spent the whole next day reading articles about the tie-ins and about other...
You
about
said
the
you
novels
wanted to read
all
the
these
pre-novel,
other things going
yeah.
On. Yeah. Yeah.
That's so unlike you.
Yeah, it's very much unlike me. Like, the whole thing was unlike me. We were sitting there... at the house Thursday night. Was it Thursday night? And I turned to my son. I said, have you done all your homework? You have any tests tomorrow? And he's like, Dad, it's the last day before Christmas break. There's nothing going on. So we're going to a movie.
And
so we went to a movie.
And you did.
And it was awesome.
It was. It was an awesome movie. It's highly recommended. Zero to Detmer, Matt. How good was it?
Oh, it was Detmer / McMahon or whatever your top of the scale is.
Oh, so it was Detmer. What do you mean, whatever?
It's, oh, I loved
it. It's the Detmer scale. What are you talking about?
Okay. All right.
It's the Detmer scale.
It's like when people say it was an 11 on a scale of 1 to 10. That's where McMahon sits, apparently, on our scale.
That's where I think McMahon sits, but you you and, like, everybody else, apparently, seem to disagree.
Whatever. Anyway, I really, really enjoyed it.
It was a good movie.
I thought it was awesome.
It was a good movie for sure. I don't know. I don't like it better than... I would put a Sarkeesian level for me. I don't know that I like it better than Empire Strikes Back. There's something about a sequel where you've already known the characters and can care about them. But I'll tell you what. I cared about all those characters. The ones that were featured prominently.
Oh, yeah.
They
pulled you in.
They pulled you in and pulled you in fast for sure. I'm not sure I liked it better than Force Awakens. I'm going to have to see it again in the theater, which I always do.
So. I think I need to see both of them again. Or just for me, I felt like there were parts of Force Awakens that were kind of forced. And there was nothing to force in this film, right? Because it was a slightly different, like it was a leg off of the plots, right? So I think they had a little bit more room. They had a little bit more room to play in Rogue One. But I should probably stop there.
Yes, you probably should stop there since we're trying to stay spoiler-free. Okay, so Matt, we've got another movie-related question, and we are going to start with another movie-related question, all right? It is from the tweet bag.
What you got? Tweet bag.
It's from Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter.
Sweeney.
Today is the 15th anniversary, he says, of the Fellowship of the Ring release. Thoughts on movie? Did you see it in theaters? Of course I did, Justin. That's ridiculous. I saw it in theaters. Matt, he also asked, place among trilogies. Are you a Lord of the Rings movie fan?
I am. Now, what year was it then that the first one came out?
15 years ago, he said. Were you listening?
Christmas of 2001.
I believe so. If you're doing your math correctly.
But I don't always do my math correctly.
And then the next one came out 2 years later, right? They were on 2 years, or were they on 1 year?
I don't remember these things. This is what I rely on you for. You and IMDb.com.
Yeah, that's where I'm headed, dude. That's where I'm headed. 2001 is Fellowship of the Ring. Where are the other movies? This is very fascinating for the listeners.
Me. They love it. They love it so much.
They love it. All right. Where's the list of the movies? Come on, you're letting me down, Wikipedia. I just want a list.
Why are you going to Wikipedia?
Kathleen's making faces at me through the window glass there. She's trying to distract me. It won't work. Nope. Only
what do you
one
mean?
Year
it
in
already
between.
Has worked.
Only 1 year in between, that's right, because they shot them all at the same time. Return of the King, Matt, when that came out. Okay, are you ready for this? I was in business school. All right? Me and a friend in business school, Corey, we watched the first two extended version and then went to the third one in the theater. It might be the best trilogy of all time. I have a hard time deciding between it and Star Wars. But luckily, I don't have a hard time deciding between that and the Hobbit trilogy because those movies weren't very good.
No, they were really disappointing.
It's like, we took this awesome book, but we're going to make it more like Lord of the Rings and not like the book.
Right.
I don't know what happened there.
We're going to make it unnecessarily long.
Yes. It's like Peter Jackson's version of the... it really is. It's Peter Jackson's version of the prequels of Star Wars. They're too long. Yes, there are some cool moments, but not enough to have supported three movies. There you go. It's basically the same. All right, Matt, let's get off of movies and talk about the CougarFan.com Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Matt, women's volleyball, the season's over, but the accolades keep coming. Amy Boswell and McKenna Miller were named All-Americans. So congratulations to both of them. Women's basketball, 6-4. Matt, they beat Utah State this week. Next up is Washington. Let's go to the Cougars and the Pros with the first pick in the NFL draft. The New York Jets select someone terrible.
The Jets are so bad.
It's awesome, isn't it? I love them being bad. Speaking of New York teams I love to hate, Ziggy Ansah against the Giants, Matt, recorded his first sack of the season. And if there's one quarterback I like hearing getting sacked, it's Eli Manning.
Hey, you've seen sack that tweet that went around of Eli Manning doing his pregame warm-up?
No, I haven't.
GIF?
No, I haven't.
He's doing this. We used to call it a karaoke step. Anyway, he looks like he's warming up for Dancing with the Stars.
He is? What do you think?
It's awesome.
He's going to be on that show 3 weeks after he retires.
You might just wait for an off season and do it.
He might. He might. Matt, Kyle Van Oy, former teammate of Ziggy. What's that? He'll win it?
He'll
win Dancing with the Stars? You love Dancing with the Stars, don't you? You love it.
I've seen it before.
We've all seen it before. We just don't like to admit it. Kyle Van Oy versus the Broncos. Matt, 6 tackles, 1 for loss, and a forced fumble the week after he had a very athletic on Monday Night Football, very athletic, tipped pass. He's looking like Kyle Van Oy, Matt.
Yeah.
He's looking like...
It's a dream come true. It's a dream come true.
He looks fantastic.
Yes.
And I know I've
Kyle
got the blue
Van Oy
goggles
is playing
on, but...
for the New England Patriots, and he's playing well.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't get any better
he's
than
playing
that.
A key role. They just, now granted... defending Super Bowl champions without a good quarterback, but they didn't have a good quarterback last year. So let's make that clear. looked really well as the Patriots defense really put the screws to the Broncos pretty hard. Matt Dennis Pitta, 2 catches for 16 yards versus the Eagles. And I switched over to the Dolphins game as I was watching the BYU basketball game just to see John Denny snap the ball, and he did it in a very lovely fashion.
That's you know what? Hey, if you're out there listening, kids, learn to long snap.
Apparently, he's had a nice little NFL career.
It's really a brilliant move.
Eight or nine plays a game, and usually he doesn't even get touched. I'm just saying, it's not a bad deal. Matt Jimmer, as we talked about on last week's show, he continues to shine. Another monster double-double for him. He's leading that league in, like, everything. And, Matt, you may have heard about this. There was a big wedding. Former BYU soccer player Kyla Varner, who then transferred to Ohio State after 2 years with the Cougars, married some baseball player that I believe you're a fan of named, is it Bryce Harper?
Oh, stop it.
How do you say that first name?
Okay, for a baseball guy to refuse to acknowledge one of the best players in the league for whatever reason.
One of the best players in the league? That sounds like a Nats fan talking, not a baseball fan.
No, I didn't want to argue with you about whether or not he was the best player, but I think you can't disagree that he is one of the best players.
Argue that he's the best player, that's funny. His name's Mike
Trout.
Is
he one of the best players in Major League Baseball?
Mike Trout is the best player, and there is no argument for anybody else. Maybe Clayton Kershaw. I wouldn't throw you out of the room. Are you saying that you're saying he's one of the best players? Okay. All right. I was ready for this. Okay.
Oh, boy.
FanGraphs WAR rating, which is wins above replacement. Okay. Takes into account defense, offense, or whatever else. Not top 30, Bryce Harper. Not the top national last year. That was Daniel Murphy. No, I don't think he's one of the best players in baseball. I think that was true a couple years ago. I'm not sure it's true anymore. I don't know. I know that breaks your little
nationalist
heart. But I will say this, Matt. Jeremy Ashton asked us a tweet bag question, his second of the podcast. He says, thought it was interesting that Bryce Harper married a former BYU soccer player, especially since he's indicated in the past that he's not a fan of BYU. Maybe it will help him to be more of a fan going forward. Matt, you're an expert in all things Bryce Harper. Do you think this affects his feelings towards BYU?
No, not even a little
bit. No, he's been dating her since high school.
And she
transferred, which I have no idea why she transferred. But
yeah, I don't know the story behind that either. But the idea that he was somehow warm up to BYU because his wife used to play there, I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, that's not happening. So it's okay. The LDS people cannot like BYU. It's okay.
Yeah, and it's totally fine.
It's totally fine. I mean, they're going to hell, but it's totally fine. They can do it. We all have our agency. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
There's nothing wrong with it.
I'm totally kidding. It's probably only BYU fans listening anyway, but I am totally kidding, okay? I do not feel that way. I don't care if LDS people, you're not required to like BYU sports.
LDS athletes aren't required to play at BYU.
No, none of that garbage. I don't believe in that. Unfortunately, Jeremy, I don't think we'll see him a la Chris Pratt wearing a BYU t-shirt on the internet. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was a funny one. Yeah, I did see that. Somebody asked him about it. He said they were filming something in Utah. Somebody just gave him the shirt. It was the only time he wore it.
Yeah.
He had no idea what it was.
He was on the cast of Everwood, which was filmed back then in Utah. So it is pretty funny because, man, you want to get the Mormons going, like, oh my gosh, was he baptized? Did he leave the church? I mean, I saw on the internet all sorts of crazy theories. And like you said, in the end, it was somebody gave me the shirt and I wore it one day.
Yeah.
And the pictures.
It's like when Cannell wore one on the air.
Yes. What is his connection? What's going on? Did the missionaries come to his house? I don't know.
Nope.
All
Somebody
right,
just
Matt.
sent him a shirt.
Somebody sent him a shirt. So, Matt, men's basketball, let's talk about Saturday's game, which, of course, you did not see because you were driving from one point in Texas to another point in Louisiana, which doesn't sound that far because they're one state away, but
it's
we're
actually
talking
not
about
that
Texas.
bad.
Wasn't
it's like
too
a
bad.
300-mile drive. It
Yeah,
really wasn't that
300-mile
bad.
drive, so not too bad. Lost to Heartbreaker, Illinois. Emery had a chance to tie it at the end or win it. Where's this score? To win it, right? Because it was a 2-point loss. Had a chance there to win it. Matt, it's kind of a tough game because we were behind a lot of it. You didn't see it, but looking at the box score, what's your takeaway as someone who didn't see it? Because I think a lot of fans that saw it because we were so close to winning have a bad taste in their mouth. What's your take as someone who didn't actually see the game as it was going on?
So I think, from the stuff that I've been able to look at, it looks, I hate phrases like, good losses or any of these types of
Yes,
things.
you
This is
do.
a game we had every shot to win it, and maybe that's part of the reason everybody's frustrated, right?
Yes,
Because this was a
yes.
very winnable game for BYU, and and when you look at the way the schedule's panned out so far, I think people felt like they needed to win this game. For
Yeah,
tournament hopes, right? So,
certainly. It would have been a nice resume builder for sure.
and then to come this close and not be able to pull it out, I understand why people are frustrated, but I don't think it's the end of the world.
No, I don't think it would have been a nice one to have. Obviously Mika, another monster game, 25 points, 8 boards, a little bit of foul trouble. Emery had a not a great game, 5 for 15 shooting, what did have 16 points and 4 boards, 4 assists and 4 steals. Matt, TJ Haws is playing lots of minutes and quite frankly not playing that great. 6 boards, 5 assists and 3 steals, but 1 of 7 from behind the arc. As a team, just 7 of 22. That's kind of the story right now, is the perimeter play just isn't good enough to beat a team like Illinois. Now, it was close in this game, but didn't end up pulling it out. Any other thoughts on the Illinois game?
Meek is still a beast,
Man,
right?
beast. The announcers couldn't stop talking. Every national game we have, or this one was on Big Ten Network, every time we have a game where it's not our announcers, they just talk about Mika the entire game and how awesome he is. And, that is makes sense. But I don't know, as BYU fans, I don't get the feeling yet on Twitter and social media that we are appreciating what we're seeing here. And maybe that's just because football season's still on and people aren't necessarily, fully engaged in basketball yet, but he is playing. He's one of right now. He's one of the top players, as we've talked about before, in all of college basketball, and national people are starting to see that. I mean, it's not Jimmer level insanity, but this guy's a sophomore. A sophomore. I mean, we got a few more years of that. Matt, percent chance he leaves early for the NBA draft.
Oh, I don't know.
15,
You think he
20?
goes after this year?
No, it'll be another year. But I don't think it's high because I don't think there's some issues with his game at the next level today that might not be there, I don't know, a year from now, 2 years from now. But I think there's a chance. I mean, he's got a lot of pro skills. If he can hit that, and he's starting to do it, hit that like elbow extended type of free throw extended line type of jump shot. I mean, he's a beast, man. He's a beast. Also, keep this one was an interesting one. 3 minutes for Kyle Davis. Yoeli Childs had 31. Can we just safely say now at this point that it's Yoeli Childs' world and we're all just living in it?
Well,
Okay, maybe that's exaggerated.
it's his spot, right? I
It's
mean,
his spot now. Clearly, it's his spot. Here we had an important game and Childs played 30 plus minutes. So going forward, we got to assume it's going to be Childs over Davis, right?
Well, with 8 points and 9 rebounds, I mean, that's the type of production we need. I think the defensive rebounds were a little bit of a problem.
Yep.
You know, the rebounding, and if Childs is going to produce, that's who you got to go with.
So, Matt, I asked a day and a half ago a question on Twitter, and we got 49 responses to it, which was, after Meek and Emery, which I think we can all agree are the two most important players on this team, which player is the most important for this year's team? LJ Rose, TJ Haws, Yoli Childs, or somebody else? So, Matt, the winner of the poll was 45% for Childs, 37% for Haws, 12% for Rose, and 6% for others. Do you agree with our listeners on Twitter that 45% with Childs, or do you think it's somebody else?
I think it's either Childs or Haws. I mean, if you would have asked me this right at the beginning after the first couple of games, I might have said Rose. But right now, I think you're looking at Haws or Childs.
I think it's Rose, and I'll tell you why. If he can start producing offensively, the entire floor opens up for the guys down inside and for Emery. Right now, nobody is threatened by him or Haws. They're just not, because they're not hitting the shots, right? And that means lots of double teams on the big guys and lots of help defense on Emery when he tries to go to the hoop. But I guess you could make the same argument about Haws then, right? If he starts hitting his three-pointers at a higher clip, then it would have the same effect. Obviously, Childs is already super important, and I could see the argument for him, too. I could see it. Brian Taylor asked us off of Facebook, who is the heir apparent for Dave Rose? Brian says he's heard rumors that he might leave after the Lone Peak 3 graduate. Did we ever come up with a good name for them? Good nickname? We never settled on one.
I think the Big 3 is lame.
The Big 3 is lame. Lone Peak 3 is okay. LP3. The assistants.
I think we got to move on from what high school they were in. You
the
know what
APs?
I mean?
No?
That's just weird.
That is weird. I know. I just did it to bother you. So he talks about Terry Nashif, Quincy Lewis, Tim Lacombe. Brian's not sure any of those are that. Matt, I haven't spent any time thinking about this. Brian, we got this question an hour and a half ago or so. I don't really have any idea. I don't know that the heir apparent is necessarily sitting next to Rose, but I hope he's coaching for past the Lone Peak 3. But I don't know. Any thoughts on your side?
Well, I'm just wondering about these rumors about him leaving when these guys graduate is a whole separate issue entirely, right? Because I'm not sure I buy into that quite yet. But if that's true, I don't know they have a guy on the radar yet.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah, even when you look at a year ago when we were hiring a football coach, I mean, over a period of just a couple of weeks, look at how much that thing changed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this stuff moves really, it's really, really slow until it's time to make the move, and then things move really quickly.
Things move really, really fast. So, but we got a few years before even that happens anyway. So, Matt, let's talk about the Poinsettia Bowl.
Poinsettia Bowl.
Gary Payne asks, run D or pass D, what's the most important against the Cowboys? Matt, what's your take for the game on Wednesday night? Do we need better run D or better pass D to hold down what is a pretty decent offense by Wyoming?
I think you got to just take away the run.
I think so, too.
I think if you take away the run, you're in pretty good shape.
They are a balanced team. They don't over-rely on one or the other. But I think if you take their, we talked about him last week, their junior running back, Brian Hill, leading rusher on the team. I think if you take him away and make them pass it, I feel good about us creating a couple turnovers out of that scenario.
Yeah.
You know, Nacua, one of the cornerbacks, will come in and pick off a pass or two. So, Matt, let's talk about predictions here. Are you ready to jump into our predictions?
Oh, yeah.
So the line in Vegas, not that we're encouraging gambling on the show, but the line opened at 7.5 and is now at 10. Matt, are you surprised that bettors started favoring BYU after that opening line of 7.5?
No, I'm not. And we've talked about this before, right? When you look at the way lines move, it's about people who are looking at college football on a national scale making decisions on their on who they're going to bet for. And they're looking at this game and they see two brands, and Wyoming isn't a well-developed football brand right now.
Nope. This is not 1970.
So I think somebody who's, somebody who is buying, several bowl games or all the bowl games or whatever they're doing, in this game they're going to go with the team that they're pretty sure is the team they're more familiar, more comfortable with. Yeah. And go with the name. And that's what people have done here. Now, in this case, I think it's probably the right move.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Get to that, Matt. So, do you like BYU at 10?
I do.
I do not.
I do. I take BYU at 10.
I do not take them at 10. I think Vegas had it right the first time. Wyoming is not a bad team. They're not a bad team. They're just not.
I don't think they're a bad team.
I mean, we're not going to walk in here and, absolutely destroy them. I don't think that's a likely thing. I think a lot of BYU fans think it is.
I think there are some things working against Wyoming's favor right now.
Sure.
Regardless of what everybody's saying, the offense is going to be different.
Yes, and that hurts them because it's going to be very hard for them to plan for an offense that basically they haven't seen.
And I think they're going to have a hard time running the football.
I think that both of those things could be accurate. We're not a great pass defense team, though, by the way. We have a hard time getting pressure on quarterbacks, and our defensive backfield is good, but, given enough time, quarterback and their quarterback is at least decent, can find some holes in the defense. So, Matt, who do you think, as far as opponents we play this year, I'm going to do better than or worse than, okay? Wyoming versus everybody we play this year, okay?
Okay.
Better than or worse than Arizona?
Worse than.
Better. Arizona was terrible.
Yeah, you're terrible.
That's also true. Better than
I'm going to say worse than on all of these because I hate Wyoming.
I know you do. Better than or worse than Utah?
Oh, worse than.
Worse than. Yeah, that one's an easy one. Better than or worse than UCLA?
Worse than.
I'm going to say worse than. Massey Ratings actually has, and Football Outsiders actually have Wyoming higher than UCLA. Okay.
I could see that. I could see that. But head to head, I think that UCLA team beats these guys.
Okay. Fair enough. Better than worse than West Virginia. Worse than. That one's easy. Yeah. Better than or worse than Toledo, who just lost their bowl game.
Probably. Yeah, worse I think they're than, probably better than Toledo.
I think they're worse than Toledo. I think they're worse than Toledo, but that one's close. Better than or worse than Michigan State? That one is easy.
Yeah, Michigan State is not good this year.
Better. Michigan State was not good this year. Better than or worse than Mississippi State?
Also struggling a little bit.
I'm going to say Mississippi State's better. Massey Ratings has them about the same.
Okay.
But if you ask me, to, like you said, if they were playing on a neutral field tomorrow, I would put my money on the Bulldogs. That's where I'd put my money. Better than or worse than Boise State? That one's easy. Worse, right? Though they beat Boise State.
Right, we know that one. Right.
But they beat Boise State, so, but I think if they played 10 times, Boise State wins a majority of those. Better than or worse than Cincinnati? Easy. Better. Better than SU. Better than UMass. Better than Utah State. My point in doing this exercise, Matt, is this is not a bad football team. They're not a great football team, and we should beat them. But if people in the first quarter, it's 10-10, if everyone's flipping out on Twitter, I think you just didn't understand who we were playing. I think you think it's Wyoming. Like you said about the bettors, well, it's Wyoming. They're terrible. We should beat them by 25. No, we're not going to beat this team unless something weird happens. We're not going to beat them by 3 touchdowns. Is that an accurate statement in your opinion?
I don't think we beat them by 3 touchdowns, no.
So they're not.
This game might not even be decided until the fourth quarter.
It very well may not be decided.
You know, shock everybody, right?
But right. All right. So, Matt, let's talk about over-under. They have it at 66 total points scored. Would you take the over or the under at 66 points?
I'm taking the under at 66 points.
I am also taking the under at 66 points, but I wouldn't be totally shocked if this turned into a shootout. You know, sometimes bowls, offense has had weeks to prepare new stuff. It could happen, but that's not what I'm predicting. All right, other over-unders. Tanner Mangum passing yards, 285 over-under.
Under.
I'm going to take under. Jamal rushing yards, over-under, 125.
Over.
I'm going to take over. BYU sacks of the Wyoming quarterbacks, over-under 1.5.
I'm taking the under.
I'm going to take the under as well. Total yards for BYU, over-under, let's see, so far this year, they have averaged, where are my statistics? They have averaged 442 yards per game. Wyoming's defense is terrible. Over under 501 total yards for BYU's offense.
I've got to do some math in my head. I'm going to go under.
I'm going to go over just slightly. Over under 450 total yards for Wyoming's offense.
Under.
I'm going to do over just slightly.
I think that one's close, but I'm going
that under. That one's close. That one I could be convinced either way. So, Matt, final prediction time. What do you got?
Well, I think we've covered most of the things that I feel about this game. I think we're going to be able to contain the run pretty well. We may be a little bit vulnerable in the past, as you talked about. But at the end of the day, I don't think this is a game that we lose. And I think we cover a 10-point spread. Final score, 28-17.
I agree with a lot of your takes. I think it's going to be a little higher scoring than you. I think we look at, say, a 35-27 game. So we're close to that 66 points, but not quite. I think the offenses are going to rule this game a little bit. I think Tanner Mangum will look very good, but I think what will look really good is Jamal.
I think you're going to see a steady, steady dose of Jamal Williams.
This is the 81st ranked, according to Football Outsiders Advanced Statistics, rushing defense in the country. And I think to protect Tanner Mangum, I don't think they're going to have him come out and throw the ball 50 times. I don't think that's wise based on the defense we're playing, though they're not a great pass defense either. But I think with potentially everybody healthy, you also now know you got Squally Canada and Hall and potentially Harvey Longy as running backs to rotate in and out. But I'm with you. I think you will see how many touches for Jamal over under 27.5.
Ooh.
I'm going to go
touches. I'm going
touches.
Over.
I'm
going
to go over for him, but barely, like 28, 29 touches.
Yeah.
And he's going to have a massive game, a couple of big, huge runs. And then I think there'll be a couple of long passes on play action, second, third
yep.
quarter. And again, I think the Cowboys will hang around all game. I don't think towards the end of the fourth quarter, we're going to be feeling super comfortable. I hope I'm wrong. I hope we blow them out because that makes it easier for me, and I love rooting against Wyoming. But I just think they're a good enough team that they can hang around. You look at, we talked about this last week, you know, they beat Boise State. You know, they beat San Diego State, split that, you know, and were close in the Mountain West Conference Championships game. So they can play with good teams. They can also lay massive eggs. So there's a potential also of that, right? They come out here and play a massive egg and we win by 3 touchdowns. I don't think it's likely, but it's certainly possible.
Yeah, but this is a team that really felt like they had a chance to win the conference championship and did not. I think they're going to come into a game like this feeling like they have something to prove. The opposite of that is, you know, team is deflated and they don't care because they didn't get what they wanted. I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think that's going to be a problem on the BYU side. I do think it's going to be a problem potentially on Wyoming's side. You know,
oh, that's what I was saying, is I don't think it'll be a problem on the Wyoming side. I think Wyoming comes in here feeling like they have something to prove.
And, you know, I don't know if it cares if it matters to the players or not, BYU, because we haven't played them in, you know, years since we were in the Mountain West Conference. But certainly the administration and others will say, hey, let's take it to BYU. I'm with you. I don't think they come in super flat or anything.
Yeah.
All right, Matt. Last week, we basically took Jason Buck to task for his opinions on independence. You can, if you're interested in our opinions about his opinions, which seems weird, go back and listen to that podcast. Listener response was overwhelmingly in support of what we said. So apparently we got something right, Matt.
No, look at that. Every once in a while.
Every once in a while, blind acorn. No, blind squirrel. Not blind acorn.
Wow.
Hey.
I don't even know what to do with what blind acorn? Really? Yeah.
Blind acorn finds a squirrel,
hashtag,
right?
Hashtag blind acorn.
That's
hashtag that, blind acorn.
Yeah,
if you make it through the end of the podcast tonight.
Blind acorn. That's your hashtag blind acorn. Tim Jacobson in the old-fashioned email in the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
What should BYU's approach be to contracting bowls in the future? He says, I think BYU should secure a standout sponsor like Intrada or Vivint, or both, run by BYU alumni with a solid payout and a contract and contract it every year. Have it be like the Holiday Bowl used to be. Let it always be a second or third place team from a Power 5 unless we get into a playoff or a New Year's Day situation. Matt, obviously that's one of the things, you know, this is the last bowl contract that I'm aware of that we have, is this one with the Poinsettia Bowl, which means we'll be in this weird thing next year unless something happens between now and the beginning of next year with bowls. What do you think the future looks like?
Yeah, I don't know. This is a tricky situation, right? Because
it's a tricky wicket.
It is. It is a tricky wicket. Tricky wicket? Hashtag tricky wicket.
No. Hashtag blind acorn is way better.
Okay, that's fine. But yeah, this is definitely a tricky wicket. Now, and I don't disagree necessarily with everything that Tim's saying here. I feel a little bit different about sponsors, but the difficulty here is just going to be setting up a deal where you're getting, you know, a two or three place team from a P5.
That's
because they're all locked up.
That is the problem. So I'm all for BYU going out and forming their own bowl, right? Apparently, all you have to do is find a stadium and you can find a bowl and create a bowl game. I think sites that make sense are San Diego, Arizona, Vegas. Any other sites, Matt, that
especially
I'm missing?
Especially when there's an NFL stadium in Las Vegas, yes. Yes.
You know, but San Diego, L.A., somewhere warm. I don't think it makes much sense if BYU is creating a bowl to do it on the East Coast. Florida or somewhere in the Southeast. I don't think it makes a lot of sense. I think it's easier for fans if you know, because BYU fans are, even though there's a lot of us that are east of the Mississippi, you know, most are not. So it would make sense to start it. I think you're more likely to get a second or third place team from a group of five conference if you created one of those bowls.
Right.
The other thing is you can go and try to get with a bowl and sign a long-term contract. For example, the Poinsettia Bowl. Right, San Diego makes sense. You play a Mountain West team every year, not ideal, but not terrible. Or you go for one of the other bowls. Now, most of these have contracts, which is why starting your own might do better than that. But for example, I don't know, I'm trying to look at some of these. Like, yeah, what about Texas? Would you do it in Texas? Could you do
Texas? Would make sense.
Could you do one of those Texas bowls? There's several of them. You know, could you do the Cactus Bowl, right? In Phoenix, you know. There are some possibilities out there. I think it'd be really nice if we just created our own bowl or signed a long-term contract with one of these. Do you agree?
I would prefer to sign a long-term contract with somebody, but because you create your own bowl, I think you're going to have a hard time getting in position for a good quality opponent every year.
I think ESPN would help you out with that. I think you could get a decent
maybe
opponent. I mean, what type of quality opponent? Are you okay with like the third-place American Conference team?
Or no? What's the difference between that and what we're doing right now?
The difference is we don't know what the bowl game's going to be from now till eternity. That's the difference.
So you're saying this at least locks you into something?
Yeah, yeah. So say you get the second-place team from the American Athletic Conference West. That's your contract, okay? This year it's Tulsa. Would you rather play Tulsa than Wyoming?
I'd take Tulsa over Wyoming.
Last year it was Navy. Would you rather take Navy over whoever the Mountain West Conference has to say?
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? The year before it would have been Central
Florida.
Yeah,
okay, no, that's a good point.
I'm just saying.
I see you there.
I'm just making this up, right? The other.
It's not a. You're not getting a P5 school here, but you're getting. You know, you're probably being a little bit more realistic about who the potential opponents are.
Yes.
Getting a top two or three team from a P5 conference is not going to happen.
Right.
If we create our own bowl.
Right. And the American Conference to me is, I don't know if you agree with this, is the best conference outside of the P5. So I would like to get aligned with them versus the Mountain West. I just think American, and it's more interesting, too, than, oh, look, they used to be rivals. Don't care. We weren't rivals. We beat the crap out of them every year. That's not a rivalry. You know what I mean? Any other thoughts on this one before we move on to our bowl preview?
No, I think we've covered it well.
All right. So this is the part of the show where we're going to cover a bunch of bowl games, most of which we don't know anything about the teams.
Not even a little bit about them.
Though it gets better this week than it was last week. There's actually some teams that I've seen play this year in some of the bowls we're going to discuss. Then we very quickly decide who's going to win and how likely we are to watch said bowl game. Are you ready, Matt?
All right. Oh, I'm ready.
All right. We're recording this on Monday night. On Tuesday night is the Boca Raton Bowl in Boca Raton, Florida. Okay. It's at Florida Atlantic University's football stadium. This is not a bowl I'm interested in BYU playing in. Okay. Hey.
Nope.
Let's throw a little wrinkle. Okay. We'll also say on a score of zero to Detmer, how much would you like that BYU to contract with this bowl game going forward? How's that?
Excellent.
All right. All right. So.
Yeah. Oh, I like it.
I like it too. All right. 8-4 Memphis against 10-3 Western Kentucky. Hey, winning teams, Matt. Winning teams. No one comes out a losing team. Well, somebody comes out a losing team. Western Kentucky is favored by 7. Matt, I'm taking the points and Western Kentucky.
I'm also taking Western Kentucky. Down with Memphis.
Down with Memphis. Down with them. Percent chance you see any of this game tomorrow night.
Oh, 100%, because I'll finally have TV in my house.
I would say for me it's about 85%. Zero to Detmer. How cool would it be to contract with the Boca Raton Bowl?
Zero.
Zero. Agree with you. All right. Obviously,
no interest.
None at all. Wednesday is the Poinsettia Bowl, which we have already covered over the last two podcasts. On Thursday night, Matt, is the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. 8-4 Idaho
Bowl
versus 7-5 Colorado State. Colorado State is favored by 13. They win by more than that. Matt?
Yeah, I think Colorado State comes out on top here.
Percent?
In the famous Idaho Potato Salad Bowl.
Percent chance you see this game?
It's actually really high, 80%.
I would say for me it's 1%. There's a work holiday party that evening. And
oh, boo.
I think I'll, no, actually, it'll be fun, I think. More fun than watching than that lame bowl game. Zero to Detmer.
Oh, so I think we already know where you stand on our next question.
Yeah. Zero to Detmer, how excited would you be if we signed a contract with the famous Idaho Potato Bowl?
Oh, please, no.
Zero.
Please.
Zero.
Please don't.
Zero. No bowl games in Boise. None. No bowl games.
No.
Not
on
interested.
Blue, on your blue turf.
On the blue turf. On Friday, December 23rd, Matt, there are three bowl games. First, we go to Nassau for the Popeyes Bahamas Bowl, 7-5 Eastern Michigan, 9-3 Old Dominion. Are they FBS?
Yeah.
No, they're not.
What, yeah, they are.
What conference do they play in?
They just moved up. They just moved up.
Who do they play in? Sunbelt?
Old Dominion is Conference USA.
Oh, gosh.
They went 7-1 in their conference in the conference this year.
But they were a good FCS team, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember, search me, right? Old Dominion is favored by 4 over Eastern Michigan. I'm taking the team I didn't realize was FBS. Matt, who you got?
I'm also taking the team you didn't realize was FBS, because I can't, as I said last week, I'm not going to pick any of the directional Michigan schools.
Yes, you've been very consistent on that. Matt, percent chance you see any of this game that starts noon Central Time on Friday?
Oh, come on. We all know I'm going to watch some of this game.
I'd say it's 20% for me.
Middle of the day. I might have some errands to run. I don't think I'm going to catch all of it.
No, I won't. Certainly won't catch all of it.
95%.
95%, he says. Zero to Detmer. How excited would you be if we signed up with the Popeyes Bahamas Bowl?
I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but I don't want this one either. I don't want
to. Zero? No,
I would like to go to a bowl game at some point, but I don't want to have to go to the Bahamas.
Bahamas?
Who wants to go to the Bahamas?
No, I don't want to go to the Bahamas. All right. Later that day,
I'll eat some Popeye's chicken, though.
Yeah, I'll eat some Popeye's chicken, too. Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl in Fort Worth, Texas. 8-5 Louisiana Tech. 9-4 Navy. Navy is... No, Louisiana Tech, I'm sorry, is favored by 6.5. I'm taking the midshipmen in this one for the upset. Matt?
Yes. How in the world is Louisiana Tech favored by 6.5 in this game?
No, Navy.
The midshipmen win this.
They win it. They win it. Matt, zero to Detmer.
Yes.
How excited would you be for us contracting with the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl?
I could get behind this if we were playing a service academy most of the time.
Well, I think you would. It would be us versus a service academy. Would you
right.
be behind
so,
that? Are you? How excited would you be for that?
I think I could. Yeah, I'd be excited for that.
Kevin Federick excited?
Kevin Federick excited is probably
me
good.
Me too.
I like that.
Maybe a little more than that. But yeah, not super excited, but it's all right. The nightcap, Matt, on Friday is the Dollar General Bowl set in Mobile, Alabama. 8-5 Ohio versus 9-3 Troy. Troy is favored by 4. Matt, I'm taking Ohio in the upset, 2 upsets in a row. Who you got?
I'm taking Troy because I really could care less than they're favored.
Oh, and we didn't say percent chance on the Armed Forces Bowl. There's 100% chance I see some of that game.
Yeah, 100% I'll watch some of that game.
And this nightcap game, 100%. I see at least some of it.
This one drops off. At least some of it, yes, 100%. But I'm not watching all 4 quarters of Ohio.
No. Maybe
if I'm going to spend, if I'm going to spend 12 hours in front of the TV watching football, it's not going to be these 3 games.
No, it is not. On Christmas Eve, Matt. Oh, zero to Detmer, Dollar General Bowl for BYU. Zero. I don't want to.
Drew Miller.
Drew Miller. You're Drew Miller excited about it. Nice.
I don't know how to gauge this one yet, but I'm not interested in the Dollar General Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. I just don't think it's good. Geographically, it wouldn't make sense for BYU.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
So,
On Christmas,
and I don't want to play either of these 2 teams.
Spend your Christmas Eve, Matt, as usual, with the Hawaii Bowl. You've got 6-7
Christmas
Hawaii.
Tradition.
6-7
like
Hawaii. 6-7 Hawaii. Okay? Versus 8-4 Middle Tennessee State. There is no line on this game, apparently. I'm taking Middle Tennessee State. Matt, who you got?
Why is there no line? Why is there no line on this game?
I don't know. Is betting on college sports not allowed in Hawaii?
I don't know the answer to that.
Somebody injured? I don't know.
It's an interesting question. Yeah, I don't know.
Don't care enough to look up.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take Hawaii.
I'm going
to... Because it's hard to travel out there and win.
All right. Fair enough point. Zero to Demmer. How excited would you be if we contracted with the Hawaii Bowl?
No.
Zero for me if it continues to be zero. On Christmas Eve. If it's not on Christmas Eve, I become like, I don't know, Matt Berry excited?
But you're playing Hawaii every year?
No.
I mean, that's...
Hawaii's not contracted with it. But you could end up playing Hawaii a lot. They have to
qualify. But if you're the Hawaii Bowl and they land in your lap, you're taking them every year.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not interested in the Hawaii Bowl. Certainly not on Christmas Eve. I can't imagine the church ever got behind. Yes, let's do a long-term contract with a game on Christmas Eve. A week from today, Matt, there are three bowl games. We've got 6-6 Miami, Ohio versus 5-7 Mississippi State in the St. Petersburg Bowl at Tropicana Field. This is terrible. Mississippi State's favored by 14. I guess
a team that's 5-7 is favored by 2 touchdowns in a bowl game.
Well, it's Miami and Ohio. They're 6-6. You've got a bad MAC team.
This is terrible.
It's terrible. I'm taking Mississippi State. I won't see any of this game. None. Don't care.
Yeah, 10 a.m.
Don't want to support it.
Yeah, 10 a.m. That's just not going
to
happen.
Zero to Detmer. I assume zero on the St. Petersburg Bowl.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Maryland 6-6 versus 6-10 Boston College. Obviously, it's the terrible team bowl game day, and we'll get to the last one here in a second. Maryland is favored by a point. There are no winners here, Matt, but I'm going to take the Eagles. That's
a
quick lane bowl
as well.
In Detroit. I'll take the Eagles, but I'm not excited. Not a high percent chance, maybe 5% I see some of this game.
Yeah, not real high.
Not real high. I'd zero.
10, 15, maybe.
I have no interest in BYU being involved in a game in Michigan, in Detroit.
Nope.
Don't want to travel to that. And the last one on that Monday is the Camping World Independence Bowl in Shreveport, Louisiana. You might know where that's at, Matt. 6-6 NC State, 6-6 Vanderbilt. NC State's favored by 4. Again, there are no winners out of this game. I'm going to take the Wolfpack.
Yeah, I'm also taking the Wolfpack because I'm pretty sure if they call that radio guy, they can get Vandy's game plan.
That's right. That's right.
So they've got a leg up.
They got a leg up for sure. Matt, no interest in BYU playing in this game either.
No, it's not the right spot in the country to do it. While it'd be a game I could drive to now, but no.
No. On Tuesday, December 27th, this will be the last games we pick tonight. We've got the Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl at 11 a.m. Central Time that morning in the Cotton Bowl. It's not the Cotton Bowl, but in the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. 7-5 Army, 5-7 North Texas. Army is favored by 10. I am taking Army.
Oh, yeah, Army goes.
Why? We have 5-7 teams in bowl games. This is terrible. Less bowls. Kill the bowls. Percent chance you see any of this game? 10% for me?
100%.
This is a game I could get behind BYU being in if they could get a decent opponent scheduled
for. That's the deal. I would take Army as an opponent here, but you want to really end up playing North Texas in your bowl game?
No, you do not.
5-7 North
Texas? No, you need a better. Yikes. You need a better, but I like playing in the Cotton Bowl.
Yep, Dallas is a good place to play. Dallas, I mean, there's a lot of upside to that. Yeah.
Okay. Later that afternoon is the Military Bowl presented by Northrop Grumman. That's in Annapolis, Maryland. 10-3 Temple and 6-6 Wake Forest. Temple is favored by 12. I think they win by more than that. Matt, who you got?
I'm taking Temple.
Any interest in this one, BYU contracting with? Zero for me. Don't want to go to Annapolis.
No. Not Annapolis in December. No, thanks.
The next game is the National Funding Holiday Bowl. You remember BYU used to be in this one time or two. 8-4 Minnesota versus 8-4 Washington State. I'm actually kind of interested in this game, Matt. Washington State favored by 10.
This could be a good game.
I'm going to take Washington State, but I think Minnesota keeps it close.
I'm going to go ahead and take Minnesota here. For no logical reason.
I love it. Of course, that's in San Diego. There's a 100% chance I see some of this game. Matt, how about you?
Oh, yeah, 100% chance I see some of this game.
And I would be, dare I say, Steve Sarkisian level excited if we contracted with Hall A Bowl. Not going to happen.
I was going to go with Max Hall level excited.
Okay, that works. That works. But that's not going to happen. I mean, they've got deal with the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. I don't think that's going to change anytime soon.
We're not going to squeeze in there.
Next Tuesday, and we might be recording while these games are going on, is 10-2 Boise State, 6-6 Baylor. Boise State's favored by 7.5. Matt, I'm taking the upset. I'm taking Baylor.
I think you're crazy.
It's the Motel 6 Cactus Bowl, by the way.
Anything can happen at the Motel 6 Cactus Bowl. They'll leave the light on for you.
They will leave the light on all night.
But I think Boise wins here.
I think Baylor wins. Take that.
Well, I think you're wrong.
Well, I'm not. I'm always right.
We can discuss this while this game is going on during our recording next week.
That's right. A Matt, percent chance you've seen in this game, 100%. I'll see some
100%. I'll have it on the TV right over there while we're recording.
That's
a week
right.
from right now.
How excited would you be if BYU contracted with the Cactus Bowl? Matt, I'd be Max Hall level excited, John Beck level excited.
I was going to go with Steve Sarkisian level excited.
Yeah, I like the location.
You get it. The location's good. If you could get a Big 12 team in there.
Yeah. Big 12 team.
I like it.
I could be get behind that. Well, Matt, we will cover the rest of the games next week, including we will talk about the national championship, the semifinals for the college football playoff as well.
Oh, boy.
Man, I'm starting to lose my voice. We've been talking too much.
We've been talking for a long time, my friend.
So we will be back next week, Tuesday. Matt, we will have a halftime show. We haven't talked about who will actually be doing the halftime show during the game. Who will be doing the halftime show? It's one of us.
Who did it? I don't know. One of us will do it.
I did the last one.
But well, then I guess I'm up. Next man up, huh?
Will you have internet by then?
I better.
So, assuming Matt has internet, he'll be doing it. If you don't, it might be Adam. Other than that, we will actually be back. I forgot, we're doing a second show this week.
That's right.
We're going to do a recap show on Thursday, so join us on Thursday as well. It'll be a shorter show. It won't be an hour long. We'll just kind of recap the bowl game and maybe talk a little trash or something. Otherwise, Matt, that's been a show.
There you go. There you have it, everybody.
Hashtag blind acorn, if you made it, well, not quite to the end when you heard us say that the first time. You can always tweet at us at BYU_RiseShout. Facebook, facebook.com/RiseAndShout. Email, RiseAndShoutPod, that's one word, RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars.
Jolly Christmas, it's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet.